Let's talk. John Brown. Churchill's Angel. The life of SIS Angel Agent Hazel Jicky Smith. Her name was Hazel Smith, but everybody called her Jicky. Whether it was a cover name or affectation, she never said, but she was also the name of her favorite perfume from the historic French perfume house. She is the subject of a fascinating book called Churchill's Angel, The Life of SIS Agent Hazel Jicky Smith. And it's by Nicoletta Maggi. I hope I'm getting that. Oh, Maggi. And Nicoletta joins me live on the line now. Nicoletta, good morning to you.
Good morning. Hi. Thank you for inviting me.
The pleasure is all. Is it Maggi? Is it Maggi? How am I getting? Am I getting your name right?
Maggi. Well, in Italian, pronounce it Maggi.
Maggi. And whereabouts?
So it's I'm Italian.
So tell me a little bit about who Hazel Jicky Smith was.
She was an agent, a secret agent, but her biography is very rare, because whilst you find a lot of biographies of female agents of the Second World War, of the Special Operations Executive, the service organized and founded by Winston Churchill in 1940, she was an agent belonging to the Secret Intelligence Service, which is now called MI6, and that was found in 1909 by Cammie Smith. So it was, it's very, very rare to find a biography of a female agent of the Secret Intelligence Service of the Second World War. It's almost impossible to find biographies like this one.
And so
she was living then afterwards. Pardon me?
Yeah. So she's British. Where does she originally come from? And how does she, you know, what is she doing when war starts?
Well, she was born in Harpenden in Hertfordshire, which is around half an hour from London by train.
Yeah.
But when she was 14, she went and studied. She was rich. She was born in a wealthy family. Her father was very rich. She has a very beautiful mansion in Harpenden. And when she was 14, she went and studied in Brussels. Here she studied university as well. And she was the scholar of Madame Teilhard, who was a disciple of Carl Jung, because she was expert in graphology. And then soon afterwards, she went to Paris, and she used to work for the British Embassy before 1940, but also after the war started, when all the staff of the British Embassy went back to England, she remained in Paris because she was an undercover agent, and she had to summon all the information, economic, political, intelligence information, and then to give it to refer to the British government. Plus, she was expert in graphology, so she had to control, according to the way, the handwriting of someone, if she or he was weak, was strong, and then she had to refer to the British police and say, hey, listen, he is weak, so it can be corrupted, or, you know, things like that, which was very important also those years. But also now, there is a revival, because, for instance, there are many companies who are employing people according to their handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, because they can see your personality, Plus, she was an expert in MI14, which was very important in those years, but also now, because this is a branch of MI6 of SIS. You know, it's called SIS,
yep,
which is responsible for the communication through carrier pigeons. And let's remember that the D-Day was also helped by the communication with carrier pigeons. So she was really an expert all in the field.
And she's, I mean, she, so she stays in Paris, but she is obviously regarded by the Germans as being no threat then. So she's not a threat, because otherwise you would think she would have been arrested immediately. I mean, she must have been very...
No, she was, there was somebody who betrayed her.
Right.
Because she was working, she had a boyfriend who was a French resistance fighter, resistant, she called him resistant, of the Gaulle movement. And she was in a house, and somebody knocked on the door, and she opened. It was the Gestapo. And they took her. She recorded the story with pain, with a lot of pain, because they took her, brought her to Avenue Foch, which was the Gestapo headquarters in Paris.
Place. Yes, indeed, very, very famous. Yeah.
Yes, she was. She was sort of beaten, and then she was. Carried to into prison to France, and she was heavily pregnant, and she was beaten, and then she is one of the very few British agents who succeeded in escaping, in going away from the prison and from the clutches of the Germans. So she was also very, very smart.
Yeah, I mean,
this was a quality.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
I was going to say, I mean, she manages to get away from this infamous Gestapo prison in the Avenue Foch. But and she's beaten, she's a pregnant woman. It's quite amazing how she manages to get away to survive, huh?
She used a trick. I don't know if I should tell it.
They can read the book. They can read the book. They can
buy the book.
Exactly. So she's
very, very smart. Very smart.
She says she survives the war. She, you know, she's an important person. But then she comes to Italy. I mean, how do you know about her, Nicoletta? Where does your story cross?
Yes, because after the war,
yeah,
she had this baby from the resistance fighter, and then, but I don't know, they split after the war. We don't know if because he didn't recognize the baby, or we don't know why, but after the war, she married into a very rich family, the Hermès family, the one of the Bags and Hermès.
Yes, indeed.
Kelly and... And then there she used to meet very important painters, writers. She was a friend of Yves Saint Laurent, and also with her boyfriend Pierre Berger. She had met Magritte, and she was very, very friend with famous painter Bernard Buffet. But after a while, she got sick and tired of that kind of life, because for her, adrenaline was sort of part of her life now. And she left him. She decided that, and her husband had recognized as her son. So it was really very nice. Out of the blue, she said, no, I'm not comfortable with that too comfortable life.
Okay.
So she sort of left him. No, she said, when I asked her why, she said, because there was no more passion. You know, she always was looking for romance and falling in love. She was romantic, such a romantic lady. Then she started traveling, and especially she went to Italy, and she used to work also for the UN in Rome. But in one of these sort of trips, she met a man who was much younger than she, and who lived in the Conero Riviera near Ancona by the sea. She fell in love with him. He was a printer for a local newspaper, Corriere Adriatico. She was really very in love with him, and she left everything, Rome, and he was not rich at all. He was a printer.
Yeah.
Then she also got bored there, and so she opened an antique shop. She lived in Cirolo, where Cirolo is by the sea, it's a fantastic place in the Riviera. And then she bought a shop, and she because she was very smart, intelligent, but she had culture. So she opened a shop of an antique shop.
Yeah.
In the center of Nomana, and I am from Nomana. So when I was a student, I used to enter that shop just because I was curious. But then one day she told me, listen, write something on the paper for me. So I said, I didn't understand why. And I wrote it, but I didn't know that she was an expert in graphology. So she wanted to know how I was, you know, but I didn't understand that. After that day, she invited me at home for tea, and we had become friends. And she was corrected my English homework. She was correcting my pronunciation and my English. And, you know, she didn't like when somebody was using, for instance, idioms. Everything had to be perfect English. And so this is why we have become friends. But I didn't know who she was. When she was around 90, well, I had not suggested that she knew many, many languages.
Yeah.
That she originally, I mean, she's reading books and books and books. Out of the blue, she said, listen, I started learning Russian. And it was around 2007. And I asked her, what, at your age in Nomana and Cirolo, why are you studying Russian? And she said, you never know, it'd be useful. But in those years, I thought she was sort of eccentric.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, she was sort of seen in us. Then when she was in her 90s, because she kept on saying that she was tortured by the Nazis, by the Gestapo. So one day she asked me, but Nicoletta, do you know why I was tortured? And I said, because the Gestapo, I thought they were crazy and nasty. And I said, no, because I was an agent. I was a secret agent. And I had a shock almost because nobody in the town of Cirolo knew anything about it. Nobody knew, nobody. And so I said, what? And she said, yes. And listen, there in that box, you will find my diaries. They were written and also her address book. So I kept everything. Then when she died she was 97 in 2011.
Wow. Right.
I had everything. Yeah, she died, but she was still very, very smart and
Excellent.
Clever.
Yeah,
I didn't tell anyone, I swear, about it. First of all, she had signed the official secret act. And so I knew what it was. Even if I'm not British, I was scared anyway, because I said, you know, I was really scared. Then when I had their diaries and I decided to write something, not to lose everything. One day I called up her best English friend, Dorothy Varty, who also had a house, a mansion in Conero Riviera, said, listen, I'm going to write a book on Gicchi because maybe you don't know who she was. And she said, I knew who she was, but I didn't tell anyone, you know. So I found out that Dorothy knew that Chicky was a secret intelligence service agent. She didn't tell anyone except her daughters and her son. So we were just the two people who knew who Chicky was. And then afterwards, I wrote the first edition.
It's an amazing story anyway. I mean, just to have this woman who comes to a little place in Italy for love and with the printer of the paper, and but she's left, you know, the bohemian life and friends of Yves Saint Laurent and famous French. That's a story. That's a good enough story. Full stop. But then to find that she just speaks these languages, and she's got an antique shop, and she just turns out to be a secret agent. I mean, you couldn't have written the Hollywood movie like this, could you, Nicoletta?
Yeah, I hope so. Because I think she didn't get any prize because, I mean, she was very secret. She didn't tell anyone who she was because she didn't get any medal, no recognitions, no comment. And this is not right. She was tortured like the other agents, but those belonging to the special operations executive, all of them were recognized and they got medals, they got everything, but she didn't. So now, at least after, she just have a plaque because I asked for a plaque at the cultural circle of Cirolo.
Yeah.
And now in 2022, there is a plaque where she used to live. But this is not enough. I expect something from the British that they should recognize her sacrifice. I mean, she was tortured by the Nazis for the government. Now they must do something for her. At least I'm dreaming of a movie because everybody must know her sacrifice. And also because she is a role model, except now in these times of war, we must see what she went through. I mean, she didn't back down. She was just a young girl. She was an ordinary girl full of dreams and hopes. But when the war started, she didn't back down. She said, okay, I'm here. I will fight. So I think it's not right that nobody recognizes her. This is why I'm hoping for something more.
The book is called Churchill's Angel, The Life of SIS Agent Hazel Chicky Smith. It's by Nicoletta Maggi, who we're speaking to today. Nicoletta, do you have... Yes, I can see you're holding the book up. Do you have a website? Is there social media? Where can people find you online?
www.nicolettamaggi.co.uk. And under considerations, you can find all my articles, my interviews, the photos, for instance, of the unveiling of the plaque, the TV news when, and also where she's buried, her tomb, everything. So you can find everything there. And I keep it sort of like a diary.
Ah, wonderful. And also
along with other articles.
And also, listeners, you can order it from our own virtual bookstore. Just click on the front cover. You'll see it on our website, and that will get the book sent to you. The book is called Churchill's Angel. It's by Nicoletta Maggi. Nicoletta, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you this morning.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you for this interview.